Well, glory. You say, well, Brother Ricky, I'm just living paycheck to paycheck. Well, for 40 years, they had manna just for that day. And I tell you, God was just as good to them. And it doesn't matter. He's still God. Amen. Amen. I'm good. Thank you, Brother David. Praise God. I love that. That was good. That got me excited. Amen. It's all right if I just get a blessing. I'm about to have a spell up here. I'm telling you, that was good. Well, glory. I got something to praise God. Praising God will just change everything. If they're having a bad day, just start praising God. See what happens. You know what? Devil might quit making you have a bad day if he knows your response will be praise. Because he hates praise. Amen? He hates praise. Oh, praise God. Well, this has been a wonderful journey on the Lord's Prayer. We'll never exhaust the Lord's Prayer. We may do it again and hit some of the things we didn't hit. I was telling the pastor tonight, you know, deliver us from evil. I'm going to touch on that tonight, but there's more we could do on that, on deliverance, being delivered from addictions. We're in a day and time where children are addicted at 9 years of age to drugs, to internet pornography, because what used to take searching for when I was a child, you now stumble on just with a Google search. And it's very addictive. And so in the Lord's Prayer, there's that prayer for deliverance. God doesn't want you to be in bondage. And it makes me think about a sermon that I'm working on called What's the Name of Your Donkey? I'm working on that sermon. And I'm going to tell you about that. But it has to deal with some of those addictions. And we got to get off that donkey. Amen. Praise God. If we want to get where God wants us to get, man, that's going to be good whenever it's good to me. You know, a good preaching, it has to be good to the preacher first. Amen. But and then delivers from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. And the last word in the Lord's Prayer is amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we're just going to have to do like link sausage. You know, they put sausage out and finally they just cut an end off and that's it. So we're just cutting it off. Amen. But there's more to it. And we came, even if we preached on it for 2 years, we still couldn't mine all of the Word of God. So tonight, I do want to mention to you the title or the part that we're dealing with tonight in depth is Lead Us Not Into Temptation. And everything we need is found in the Lord's Prayer. It's on our journey from earth to heaven. It covers in the Lord's Prayer. From the womb to the tomb to the throne, the Lord's Prayer covers it. The first part of the prayer is up-focused, God-focused. The second part is us-focused and earth-focused. The first part is heavenward. The first part is earthward. And we've already, now in the second part of the prayer, we started out by praying, give us day by day our daily bread. Not long after I was looking back at my notes, but down in Carteret County, and it may even have been nationwide, but Merita Bread actually went bankrupt. Do y'all remember that a few years ago? Merita Bread. Now, let me tell you something. A bread company that no longer can produce bread, they no longer have hot, fresh bread. We used to see those Merita trucks. They're not going out anymore. But let me tell you something. God's bread trucks are not going bankrupt. He's going to put food on the table and shoes on your feet. And if you just live paycheck to paycheck, if you just live one day at a time, now that might not be what God wants you for your whole life, but if that's where you are right now, you just pray this day, give us, if you got $1 million in the bank, you still ought to pray, give me this day, Lord, my daily bread, because we recognize He will not go bankrupt. Amen. And we talked last week about forgive us as we forgive us our debts or as we forgive our trespasses. Now, Matthew says debts, and I believe Luke says trespasses. They are interchangeable, and both of them are beautiful because we know what debts are. Everybody knows what debts are. How many of you got to make a payment tomorrow, or you get a $37 late fee? Are you with me? Don't raise your hand. I mean, we know what debts are, right? And we know we get that 1-800 number says, please call me immediately. Amen. This is a personal financial. I don't know what they say. I don't listen to it. I hang up on it. And I just make the payment. Amen. And so we know what debt is, and we know when people are indebted to us and they hurt us. But that word trespass, you know what trespass is. You've got a stake outside on your property that says no trespassing. But somebody violates that and gets in your stuff. But you know what? We're to forgive those trespasses. And there's been some people that's trespassed in your life. They've stepped on you. They've mistreated you. They've gone across the boundaries. And it could be very, very powerful and very, very personal boundaries. But in the Lord's Prayer, reading that book by Craig Stone, I highly recommend that book. I devoured it. I could not put it down. And he talked about, he said, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. He said, when you get bit by, he said this in his book, he said, when you get bit by a snake that hurt you and put poison in you, you got two choices. You can go chase the snake and try to get revenge and kill it. Or you can go to the emergency room. Now, how many of you know which is going to help you? You chase that snake that bit you, you're dead, right? But come on to the cross in the emergency room, at the cross, and let God deal with the hurt and the trespass. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. One little girl said, she got it wrong. She said, oh God, forgive us of those who put trash in our baskets. As we forgive those who I'm messing it up too. Forgive those who put trash in our basket. Oh, listen, that's what we need to do. Forgive those who put trash in a basket. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise for the Lord's Prayer? Hallelujah. You talk about revival every day. 21 seconds. Mark Rutland, 21 seconds. Just say, stand with me tonight and let's pray that 21-second prayer as we put it up on the screen. And I love that picture you have there, David. That is awesome. I wondered how you were going to handle that. Let's go. After this manner, therefore pray you, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Raise your hands as you pray this. In earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Say it again. Amen. Say it again. Amen. One more time. Amen. Now give him another hand of praise tonight. Amen and amen. We bless you, Lord. If you go back to verse number 13, Brother David, it says, and lead us not into temptation. Say those three words, and lead us. And lead us. This is a prayer for divine guidance. I ask God to lead me when I was choosing a mate to be married. And I asked God to give me the right person. And I'm so glad. By the way, Sister Darnell wasn't feeling well last night. Her ears were in tremendous pain. She did make it to work today, feeling a lot better. I figured the women's ministries prayed for her last night. She felt a lot better this morning, and she's getting ready for the women's retreat Friday and Saturday in Greenville. Some of you ladies, I don't know if anybody's planning to go, but I would encourage you to go. Powerful speaker Friday night and Saturday morning, and they are the women's board are getting ready for that. They're doing some conference calls tonight. So, but I prayed for God to lead me. When I went to college, I was on my way to go to home. I had been 1 year at East Carolina University, and I made up in my mind I was going to Holmes Bible College. And I bought my Aunt Lola Clack's 1979 brown, ugly station wagon. Well, it wasn't ugly, but it won't cool for a 20-year-old. I can tell you that now. But I didn't have a car payment. My Aunt Lola sold it to me for $900. And so I had another car, a nicer car, that I had put up for sale so that when I went to Holmes, I wouldn't have any monthly obligations. And I put my application in at Holmes, and I waited for the response. I got my references. Boy, I was going home to Bible college. Man, I was called to preach. I was anointed. Man, I'm going to hit that campus. Man, I was looking forward to Holmes Bible College. And I kept waiting for my letter to say, come on down, come on down. And weeks after weeks went by, and then it turned into 2 months, and I never got a response. And I remember in the middle of July, I went to bed one night, Pastor Jerry, and I could not sleep. I tossed and I turned. And it was like, go back to East Carolina. Go back to East Carolina. I said, go back to East Carolina. I said, Lord, East Carolina is not a Bible school. And anybody's ever been there, you know it's not a Bible school. Come on. Is that where you graduated from, doctor? Oh, you from Greenville. I know that. Amen. You know, I mean, it is not. I said, Lord, don't you understand? It's not a Bible school, and I'm called to preach, and I need to go to Holmes Bible College. And I'm telling you, about 4 a.m, I said, okay, Lord, I'm going back to East Carolina. The next morning, about 11 o'clock, my phone rang, and it was from one of my supervisors at East Carolina. I was working on staff in a dorm in Acock Residence Hall. And I was the residence hall advisor. I looked over the kids, and I got paid a monthly stipend. I had a private room. And so they said, this is the question. The lady said, Ricky, are you coming back to ECU for the fall? Had she called me the day before, I would have said no. I said, yes, I'm coming back. She said, well, let me tell you. Acock is closed. I'm going to have to reassign you, and here's your two choices. One is, I'm smiling because it's so good. One is Scott Residence Hall, and the other is, Jarvis. The other one is Jarvis. She said, which one would you like to serve? And let me tell you why that was so significant. Because they were the only two, they were the only two on campus that were air conditioned. Praise. You're talking about a confirmation. I said, put me in Scott. And brother, when I went back to East Carolina, I had an air conditioned room. You tell me, lead us. Amen. God will lead us. I wish somebody would quit worrying about the next day, the next step. How am I going to handle this? What am I going to do there? Just pray every day. Lord, lead me at Best Buy. Lead me when I'm putting out job applications. Lead me into deeper paths. Here's another one. Lead me to the church that I'm supposed to plant myself in and be stable, as Craig Stone preached, and be committed, because God wants to lead us, not just lead me, but lead all of us into greater, greener pastures. Well, I'm about to shout tonight. Amen. But you know how frustrating it is. I don't like to stop and ask directions. Do you? I like to figure it out in progress. I just don't like to stop and ask directions. But God has shown us his desire to lead us. He led Abraham from his homeland to a faraway land and now to glory land. He led the children of Israel as a fire by day and a cloud by night. By the way, do you know why it was a fire by day? That was, a cloud by day and a fire by night. I got to get this thing. I'm like the little girl trash bag. You know, I'm messing up here. The cloud by day was God's air conditioning. And God's fire, you know, it's cold in the desert. God's fire by night was that heat, warm, comfy heater. Amen. I tell you, God is a good God. Amen. But he led them. When the cloud of the temple moved, they moved. When Paul was wanting to go over here and preach the gospel, he had a vision in the night that said, come over here and help us. Oh, praise God. He didn't say, come over here and get rich. He didn't say, come over here and build a 5,000-member church. He just said, come over here and just help us. You never know what doors are going to open when you just want to help somebody. Can I get a witness here tonight? Sometimes God leads you just in the simple acts of helping people. Somebody say amen. But here's the key. We have to pray. Lead us. Say that with me. And lead us. Say, lead me, Lord. Lead me, Lord. You know, I've got a global positioning satellite device on my dash. GPS. But let me tell you something. It does not work until I cut it on. And God's got GPS for your life, but it will not work until you cut it on. Until you pray, Lord, lead us, lead us. We tend to go our own way. We tend to reason with our own philosophy. You know, we have a conference with great minds, me, myself, and I. And it doesn't work that way. We need greater thoughts. We need the Word of God to guide us. We need the Lord to lead us. We tend to lose our bearings. We hear what Oprah Winfrey says. We listen to Dr. Phil. We listen to the news commentators. We get on the Zodiac and we see what the Leo sign says today. We'll go to friends whose lives are just as ruined as ours, and we'll say, "Well, what do you think?" And we've got to understand that God has got a master plan. Amen. And we've got to go to Him and say, "Lord, you lead me. You guide me. How do I raise my children? How do I handle my finances?" All of that is covered because God, who cares, who numbers the hair upon your head, who knows, who said, "Consider the lilies of the field," who said Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. That's the God that says, "Hey, I want to be your GPS. I want to guide you through the dark alleys of this world. I will be the cloud by day and the fire by night. I will be the one that'll put you in an air-conditioned dorm if you'll just trust me, because my plan is always better. Lord, lead us." And if you believe it tonight, say amen. Amen. We tend to get lost, but that's the A side of tonight's prayer. Lord, lead us. Say it with me. Lord, lead us. Now, the flip side of that, lead us what? Not into, temptation. Now, this is a universal prayer. Mother Teresa has to pray this prayer. I had to pray this prayer. The Pope in Rome needs to pray this prayer. And let alone you and I, we all need to pray. Pastor Jerry, who I esteem as a great man of God, I've known for 25, going on 27 years, 26, 20, 1991, 26, 27 years. He needs to pray. First Lady Teresa needs to pray. You know why I'm calling their names? Because they're kind of the most godly people that I know. Let alone me and you. We all need to pray this prayer. Lead me not into temptation. From the gates of... Listen, we are all faced with the problem of temptation. From the gates of Eden to your telephone remote, there we all deal with temptation. I heard of a man who went to see his doctor. He said, "Doctor, I've been misbehaving some lately. My conscience has been bothering me. So I thought I would see if you could help me." The doctor said, "Well, what do you expect me to do? Give you something to strengthen your willpower?" He said, "Actually, I was hoping you'd give me something to weaken my conscience." I'm afraid a lot of people aren't interested in strengthening their willpower. They're more interested in weakening our conscience. Oh, you got mighty quiet here tonight. But we don't need a weaker conscience. In fact, the closer you get to God, the more conscious of sin you become. The brighter the light, the more of the impurities you see of anything. With dim light, you can't see the cobwebs. And you can't see the crack in the paint. But if you get a powerful mag light and you go up around this roof, you will see impurities and slight imperfections. The closer I get to God, you would think, after 25 years of preaching the gospel, of being ordained since 1994, 23 years, and preached my first sermon at 15, and I'm 45, so you've got to say, what, that's 30 years of ministry? Wow, I just realized that. This year's 30-year February. Done past it. 30 years of pulpit preaching. You would think, man, I'd have a halo. Boy, I'd be scooting on the streets of God. Let me tell you, I'm more conscious of sin today than I was when I was first saved. Because the closer I get to God, you see, when I was learning the Lord and growing in the Lord, you see, I could get angry with somebody and it didn't bother me. I'll never forget one time I went to Taco Bell several years ago and she didn't get my order right. I was at a drive-thru, and she handed me tacos, and I looked, and I had tomatoes up there. And I said, "Ma'am, you put tomatoes on there." And I said, "No tomatoes." She said, "Well, there's not anything we can do about that." I said, "Oh, yes, there is," and I just shoved them in that window. Now, I'm going to tell you, about the time I did that, I realized that the next Sunday night, we had a black choir coming to our church in Kinston. And the thought hit me, she's probably one of those choir members. And when she walks in the back door and she sees me up there going, oh, hallelujah, glory to God, she's going to think about that episode over tomatoes. And I'm going to tell you, the closer you get to God, you can't even get mad over tomatoes without feeling convicting. There's none that sins. Deacons, hear me tonight. Board members, hear me tonight. Godly anointed singers, hear me tonight. Jimmy Swaggart's, hear me tonight. Billy Graham's, hear me tonight. We all deal with temptation. And we all need to pray that prayer. You can't talk cross to your wife on the way to church. Or wives, you can't belittle your husband and come to church and just glory and shout hallelujah. You can't cut corners on your job and come in late and leave early and be sloppy in what you do. As you get closer to God, as you pray this prayer, He perfects us. He takes and He prunes us and He molds us and He adjusts us and thank God for it, that He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the sun and the stars, the earth and the moon and Jupiter and Mars, but how loving and patient He must be, because He is still working on me. I wish you'd say praise God tonight that He's still working. And it happens when we say, lead me not into temptation. Somebody say amen. Give me three things about temptation. Number one, we need to be alert to temptation. Jesus is instructing us to be forewarned is to be forearmed. We need to be alert. We need to be alert. The Bible says in 1 Peter, be on guard. 1 Peter 5 and 8. And stay awake. This is a different version in KJV. Be on your guard and stay awake. Your enemy, the devil, is like a lion, roaring lion, sneaking around to find someone to attack. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed. I don't know if we've got that up there or not. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Amen. Come on. Have you made it to glory yet? Your foot in the gate yet? When are we tempted? I'm going to give you some especially special times that we're tempted. We're tempted in weak moments. When we're weak. And what brings weakness? Well, in the natural body, if we don't eat food, let's say we go several days and we haven't eaten food, we're weak. Amen. A person hasn't eaten for 5 days, and they're getting ready to go into a boxing match with a person who has eaten properly, the other person may be more powerful, but if he hadn't eaten in 5 days, he's weaker. And folks, we got to realize that the things that cause weakness, and I'm going to talk about that in the next point, but in our weak moment, we need to be aware of our weaknesses. We need to be aware of our limitations. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord. And how do you be strong? I'm going to tell you that in second point. But we need to be strong in the Lord. The Word of God makes us strong. Prayer, that's in the next point. I'm preaching my second point ahead. But weak moments, we are tempted. And so be aware, listen, be aware of your own weaknesses. Do a self-evaluation. Walk circumspectly. Understand, know thyself. That's a principle. We need to understand. Listen, if you have a temptation to smoke cigarettes and you say, Brother Ricky, what will it send me to hell? And I'm not here. There's people who say one thing and say another. But I will tell you this. Smoking cigarettes is not a good thing for you physically. It's not good for your testimony. And God doesn't want you to be bound to anything. Does it mean I don't love you? I love you. If you smoke, I'll go to your house. I'll love you. You're welcome to attend our church. Can I get a witness out there. God loves smokers. God loves everyone. But listen, if you're trying to quit smoking, it might not be a good thing to hang around two or three others who are still smoking. Understand your own weakness. Amen. Understand. If you're dealing with alcohol, some of you struggle with alcohol. And when you see beer signs and when you see beer commercials on TV, or when you go to a convenience store, I mean, sometimes you may have not drank alcohol in a while, but sometimes you just like to walk by it and look. I mean, it just feels good, but you know you don't walk by it. Amen. Let your wife go in and get what you need. Amen. Know your weakness and don't ever think you have gotten, because one lapse, don't ever think, well, I got delivered and so I'll never fall again. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. So understand, temptation comes in weak moments, but temptation also comes in high moments. In fact, when did Jesus face his greatest temptation? Was it not in a high spiritual moment? It says Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus, full, had just gotten baptized, just gotten full, but then he was in temptation. Now, he had fasted 40 days. I'm sure it brought physical weakness. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass, Jesus being baptized and praying, that the heaven was open and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from him. And that's Luke 3. Listen to this. It says, Jesus was baptized and praying, and heaven was open, and the Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape like a dove. That's a spiritual high. That's Falcon Camp meeting. That's glory shouting the victory, praying, heaven open, hearing the voice of God. But right after that, he faced his greatest temptation to date. It is not to be thought something strange when you have a great service here at Westmoreland on Sunday, that the very next day, all hell might break loose. That is not strange. Over the years, I've seen people begin to teach a Sunday school class, and they pray about it. Say, yes, Pastor, I'm going to teach the teenage Sunday school class. And they have that first class, and, you know, I felt so good. The Lord anointed me. And then all of a sudden, they get fired from their job or something. So, I mean, it just happens. I don't understand why God allows that. But just know that temptation comes in our weak moments. It comes in our high moments. Can I get a witness out there? In fact, I call it the devil after the dove. You know, the Bible says that the dove descended, but then the devil came on. Amen. So the devil comes after. In fact, Leonard Ravenhill said, when God opens the windows of heaven to bless us, the devil's going to open the doors of hell to blast us. The Bible says in Exodus 17 and 8, then came Amalek. I did hear Jimmy Swaggart preach that in the 80s. I got it on tape. He preached that sermon in camp meeting 1987. Hallelujah. That was the year I started preaching. He preached, then came Amalek. And he talked about how the people of God had come through the Red Sea, and how they came or about to go into the promised land. But then came Amalek. Amalek represents the flesh, the world, the pull, sin, vice, all of that. And understand that Amalek is coming. He's on your trail. And therefore, let us pray. Let us not be afraid, but let us not be afraid that we will fail. But let's be afraid that we may miss the fact that we are vulnerable, and pray ever more earnestly, the Lord God, lead us not into temptation. Can you say amen tonight? So number one, be alert to temptation. And remember, I'm talking to saved people, praying people, godly people. Amen. I'm talking to weak people, new Christians, people who are in vulnerable circumstances. You say, Brother Ricky, you don't understand when I leave church what I have to face at home. Just pray this prayer. Lord, lead me not into temptation. Amen. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Number one, be alert to temptation. Say amen. And then number two, be armed for temptation. Now, this goes back to what I'm trying to say. What arms us? The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. If you want to read something that is so deep and so spiritual, and it will set you on fire, read volume one of William Gurnall the Puritan. Read his books on the armor of God. The Christian in complete armor. The Christian in complete armor. There's an abridged version, 3-volume version. Just read volume one. Just read the first 50 pages, and it's a small book. Actually, the original book is that thick, and it's written in very, very archaic language. And I've actually got the original book. And I would run in the house and get that thick book, because I'm going to tell you, that one is powerful. But for most of us, including myself, get volume one of William Gurnall's book. It's a black book called The Christian in Complete Armor, volume one. And I'm telling you, the first 50 pages, you will have felt like God has spoke to you, because he talks about how we put on the whole armor of God, and how that we are assailed by sin and lust and thoughts, and how God loves us through it, and how he calls us that we are in a warfare. We are in a battle for our very souls. And it's just, you just got to read it, because listen, you've got to put on, you've got to be armed. You've got to go into, you've got to every day suit up. You can't say, well, I did it. I came to revival last year and got a blessing. I'm talking about today. Give us this day my daily bread. I mean today. I worked at Best Buy yesterday and I worked today, but tomorrow I got to put the blue shirt back on and the black pants back on, because I can't go on. Amen, somebody. I can't stroll in there with my my golfing, not shorts. You'll never see me in short, but golfing pants. Amen. I got to go in there suited up, ready to go. Amen. We need to be armed by, listen, arm yourself by prayer. Hence the daily prayer. Arm yourself by wise choices. Don't go in the convenience store if you're trying to quit smoking or drinking. Amen. If you have a problem with internet pornography, there are actually programs that will filter and will actually send an accountability department a record of what sites you visited, and you have to give an account or disconnect the internet. You do not have to be on the internet to live. Can I get a witness? Amen. Arm yourself by reading the Word of God. Day by day, reading the scriptures. Arm yourself with the fellowship of the saints. Come on. Do you think Tom Brady won that Super Bowl all by himself? He was down in the third quarter. I love it. I knew they were going to win. I knew they were going to win. And I don't want to get into football, but I knew they were going to win, because you know why? Because they're the New England Patriots, and they're going to win. Well, down in the third quarter, I know people don't like them. I know people, all the issues. I understand. I'm not for New England. I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, so I don't care. But I'm just, and I did admit to the whole world I was a Cowboy fan. I'm telling you. But they were down in the third quarter, and I thought, it ain't over. NFL football, it ain't over. And sure enough, bless God, they turned that thing around and won. And I'm just, Tom Brady didn't do it by himself. He had a team. And you can't face temptation by yourself. You need a church. You need to one of the greatest ways to fight temptation is to, one of the greatest temptations you'll ever face is getting up and coming to church. Excuse me, I got to amen myself on that one. I've worked 6 days, preacher. I've worked from daybreak to backbreak, and I got that one little old day where I can sleep in. Oh, it's such a temptation. Exactly right. It's a temptation. But if it weren't for God, you couldn't work the other 6 days, and you're going to sleep in on God? Give me a break. That's not very pastoral. Listen, it's temptation to sleep in. You've got to get up. Put your clothes on. Well, my kids, they drag me down, and my this, that, and the other, and And I know it's got to be tough. I know it's got to be tough. But listen, get into church, because church on Sunday will arm you for temptations on Monday. Amen. Fellowship. We're in this thing together. I need your prayers. I need your support. When you come to Best Buy and you come back down and say, Brother Ricky, man, I just want to say hey to you. Man, you don't know. I might have just had a bad something that just happened to me. Come on. I mean, it's the real world. I mean, if somebody doesn't do me right, or a customer gets upset, or if another coworker does something crazy like steal one of my sales like they do all the time, those vultures out there. I mean, you got to watch those slick fellas out there. They've been greased their way in, and I won't have nothing. And they think, well, he's a Christian. He'll just let us do it. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I also am a child of God. And I got work to do, and I'm going to do what's mine. And I got my corner of the field. I'm Ruth in my field, and I got some stuff to glean. So you go on, mosey on back over there. I love you, and welcome to Westmoreland when you come. But I'm going to take what's due. Amen. And love you anyway. It's okay, Pastor. All right. See, I got a pastor too. We'll talk about these things. But I may have had a tough time, but Sister Judy the other day was at Best Buy, and praise God. You know, and it actually blesses me even more when you buy something. Amen. I'm just kidding. Sister Judy, you didn't have to buy anything. Amen. I'm just kidding on that. But Brother Blue has been, and different ones. But the point is, we must be alert to temptation. Say amen. And we must be armed for temptation. We've got a battle to face. We've got a walk to walk. And he, by the Holy Spirit, will help us if we pray, Lord, deliver us from temptation. And listen, the final point is, we need to be assured in temptation. Because understand this, temptation is real. But here's the deal. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says we are all tempted in the same way that everyone else is tempted. But God can be trusted not to let you be tempted too much. Can we go ahead and put 1 Corinthians 10, 13, Brother David, when I call out the scriptures, just go ahead and pop them right on up. You don't have to wait. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, then I'm going to James, then I'm going to Hebrews, then I'm going to 1 Thessalonians. Just kind of let you know where I'm headed. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, let's read it. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. The temptations that you face or the temptations that I face may be different. Now, I've never been tempted with alcohol. But there's some things that maybe I'm tempted with that you're not tempted with. But we all deal with it. Can you say amen? But God is faithful. And He will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Look at James chapter 1, verse 13. Let's just go right on, Brother David, to James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. So be assured in temptation that if you're being tempted, God's not actually tempting you. I'm going to read a quote from Dr. Adrian Rogers here. And I didn't have time to copy and paste it in the Word, so I'm just going to pull it from the original source, which is my book here. So give me just a second to find it. It says, God, this is Adrian Rogers, God will test us, but God will not tempt us. God tests us to make us stand. Satan tempts us to make us fall. Amen? Come on now. God tests me to give me strength and to make me stand. But Satan tempts me to make me fall. And listen, be assured. Be assured. The Bible says that when we are tempted, look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 says that we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points. Be assured in your temptation that even Jesus Christ, our Lord, knew what temptation was. By the way, it is not a sin to be tempted. To be tempted is to be human. To be tempted, you say, well, I've got a new nature, but you also got a human body. Now, your spirit is saved, but your body is still something to deal with. Can I get a witness out there? Because That we live in a fallen world, but understand that when you're tempted, do you not hear what I'm saying tonight? I'm here to tell you that Ricky Nelms gets tempted every day. Pastor Jerry Nelson gets tempted every day in some way, don't you, Pastor? Okay, just checking. You get tempted every day, don't you? Pastor Jonathan, I know he gets tempted every day because I haven't seen a youth pastor that wasn't tempted every day. Youth pastors are the most tempted. I'm just kidding. Amen. I mean, but Jesus was tempted. Be alert to temptation. Amen. Be armed for temptation, but be assured that when you're tempted, there's somebody who understands. Pastor understands. I understand. Listen, don't think you've done something so terrible that God doesn't understand or forgive you. You may say, well, I deal with anger. I get so angry. Well, sometimes it's because maybe your father or your mother mistreated you and belittled you, or your older brother hurt you or something. And so you're tempted to be more angry than you normally should be. But understand that He understands your temptation. Just bring it to Jesus and say, Lord, lead me not into. Lord, lead me. That's the key. Lead me out of this. Show me what to do. Give me the path. You will show me the way. You will answer the prayer. Can I get an amen? 1 Thessalonians 2 and 18 says, wherefore I would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Now, Paul said Satan hindered him. Can I tell you, young people, Satan's going to try to hinder you at school. They're going to try to hinder you from coming to church. Can I tell you, married people, Satan's going to try to hinder you in your relationship with your marriage and your family. By the way, can I throw this out here? But every year, I try to read a book on marriage. Now, I've been married 23 years. This year will be 24. And so I've read many books on marriage because you know why? I don't want to lose my marriage. And I want to read from some of the godly people who talk about what it is to keep a marriage together. We can't just let it go. You know, we read instructions on how to put together a tricycle, but we won't read a book on marriage. Come on, can I get a witness out there? You know, we get a new cell phone, we go through and we get all the instructions on, you know, your voicemail here and that. But we don't read a magazine on how to love your children more or show you love them more, even though you do love them. Folks, I'm here to tell you, we need to arm ourselves. We need to prepare ourselves because Satan is going to hinder us. But listen, be assured in temptation that he understands what you're going through. Being tempted is not a sin. Listen, I am tempted every day, but I don't have to sin every day. Sin comes when you succumb to the temptation. Can I get a witness? Say amen. I mean, it comes and you are tempted to give them a piece of your mind, but you bite your tongue and you pray you have overcome temptation. Come on. You are tempted to click on that website, but you don't do it and you've overcome that temptation. Amen. You are tempted to get upset because somebody sung your song. Let's get to the sanctified temptations. Right? Amen. Or somebody didn't shake your hand. Can I get a witness? But let me tell you, be assured that God, Satan can only hinder you. He cannot defeat you. God's got a good track record of helping you through temptation. Before the children of Israel, he delivered them. Daniel went into the lion's den and shut the mouth of the lion. Oh, let me tell you that David was at Ziklag, but God delivered him. Paul and Silas were thrown into a Philippian jail, but they sang praise, and God shook the jail and several people got saved. It's not because you're some superhuman, super godly person that you never have a temptation. That doesn't impress me. What impresses me is when you have overcome humbly and gratefully. Lord, if it weren't for you, I couldn't overcome the least temptation. When we stand before the throne of God, we're not going to strut our stuff and pound our chest and say, man, I didn't do this and I didn't do that. We're going to look back and say, God, if it weren't for your grace, I couldn't have made it to this judgment. I couldn't made it to heaven. All of you and none of me. Look at 2 Timothy 4:18. If you can throw that scripture up there real quick. 2 Timothy 4:18 says, the Lord shall deliver me from every... That's the prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And here's the answer. He shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. That's a good way to end on the Lord's Prayer. Somebody shout amen. Somebody lift your hand and say glory. Hallelujah. I want the Lord's will to be done in my life. Brother Clark, if you'll come. And I want to close the Lord's Prayer out with this illustration. And I hope I can pronounce his name right. Copernicus. Copernicus. So I think that's right. Copernicus was a scientist. That's a picture of him. I forget what year it was. But some of you kids in school may... I hope y'all... Back when I was growing up, we heard about him. You know what he was famous for? Anybody know? Anybody want to tell me what Copernicus was? What was it, Derek? I didn't know if you... Somebody pushed you into... All right. What did Copernicus do? What? Which means... That was speaking in tongues. Now tell us that...
That everything in the universe revolves around the sun.
Oh, somebody's... Woo! Glory! I don't know what he called it in tongues, but that's what I was talking about. The heliocentric theory. Anybody else ever heard of that? Have you ever heard of it? You younger kids? So for hundreds of years, scientists and the brightest minds thought that the Earth was the center of the universe. That means when they saw stars at night, they thought the stars revolved around the Earth, which they really didn't think the Earth was round. And they thought the sun revolved around the Earth. And they would try to map the plotting of the stars, and they could never get it accurate. They would try to map the stars. You know, this star would be here on April the 2nd, but the next April the 2nd, that star would be over there. And then the next April the 2nd, it might be over there. And they just could not figure out what in the world was the problem. I mean, after all, the Earth is the center of the universe. But a man by the name of Copernicus came along and radically said, no, the sun is the center of the universe, at least our part of it, and we revolve around the sun. And guess what? Boy, they like to kill him. I think they did kill him. Roman Catholic Church, they didn't like that heretical teaching. But guess what, Pastor? When they put the sun at the center of the universe, when they began to map the stars on April the 2nd, boom, there it was. The next April the 2nd, boom, there it was. The whole universe straightened out when what was in the center was where it was supposed to be. And it was all messed up when what was not in the center was there. And I'm here to tell you, young people, let me tell you, as long as you are the center of your universe, it ain't ever going to work out. There's going to be relationship issues, money issues. This ain't going to work out. It may work out for a while. It may be, you know, it's all about me. You know, and I love President Trump, but I don't like that song they sung, I Did It My Way. I don't like that about any president, any preacher, because when you do it your way, guess what? It's going to mess up. Amen. What we need to do is put God where he needs to be. When you put God in the center of your life, in the center of your marriage, when you get up on Sunday morning and he is going to get you to the house of the Lord, And when you raise your children in the house of God, and when you put your finances where He's in the center, I'm here to tell you, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen and amen and amen. You say, Brother Ricky, I'm a teenager. I want to do my own thing. I want to party. I want to be cool. You're in the center of your universe, and it's going to mess up directly. Somewhere down the road, it's going to mess up. But how many of you tonight are really want to pray in my life? Stand with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, lift your hands. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Come on. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. If that's your prayer, if that's your heart, step out of your seat and let's seal it at the altar tonight. I want you to put Jesus in the center. Not the S-U-N, come on, but the S-O-N. Put Him in the center and watch God do some amazing things. Come on. Just go ahead and sing while they're coming.